This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com.
All right, Woody. Spring football is over. Transfer portal, hello, opens up again. Alex Donnell, Locked On Canes and Locked On ACC podcast, joins us. And Alex, before everybody overreacts to what they saw or they didn't see, I just tell everybody to calm down a little bit. It's still spring football. Mario kept some guys out, and there's more troops on the way. Good morning. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, Joe. And, you know, yeah, one of the reasons why people may overreact a little bit in a negative way, if there is any of that going on, is, you know, we didn't get the laser show that we got last year from Cam Ward in the spring game, which, and I will also remind people that in last year's spring game, I don't think Miami's defense was as good as it is right now, which is a good thing for this year. But of course, you know, in the spring game a year ago, you had the guy who would end up being, he's about to be the number one pick in the NFL draft, just lighting it up last year.
Still and, you know, amazed to say that. That's crazy. Yeah. After watching him last year going, yeah, he's pretty good, but I don't know. Well, yeah, well, here he is, top guy potentially going. Hey, let's jump into the quarterback situation. Carson Beck, some good news. He's been cleared to throw the football. But let's talk about the backup, Emery Williams. A lot of short passes he completed. Luke Nickel got after it pretty good, made some nice throws down the field. Still got a lot to learn as a true senior in high school. What's your take on the quarterback position?
Yeah, I mean, with Emery Williams, I'll start with him. It's a little bit like hard to evaluate based on what he did in the spring game, because like you mentioned, it was a lot of stuff he was throwing behind the chains. It was a lot of more so horizontal stuff than vertical stuff. He did have a touchdown pass to Malachi Toney, and we'll talk about him. I thought Toney was the most exciting player to watch on that field. So, you know, he did have some good throws, Emery, but a lot of the stuff was behind the chains. You know, I don't know what his final stats were because they didn't keep stats, but I know he completed his first 10 passes, Emery, just not pushing down the field a whole lot. He was also going up against Miami's starting defense, going up against the ones, which I thought played very well overall. You know, in terms of Judd Anderson, there were some ups and downs, you know, some unfortunate downs. Like there was one sequence, Joe, where he threw an interception to Dylan Day, who actually fumbled the return of the interception. Brock shot on the offense, recovered it, and then on the very next throw, Judd Anderson threw another interception to Amari Wallace the second time around. So, you know, he had a couple of mistakes. And, you know, in terms of Luke Nickel, I was overall impressed, Joe. You know, the context of it, of course, is he was not going up against starting defenders, but he was also playing with mostly backup offensive players. People need to keep in mind he was throwing to some third stringers, even a couple of walk-ons out there. But I see some of the stuff, or I saw some of the stuff on Saturday from Luke that, you know, we saw from him in high school, you know, some of his games being televised at Milton, where, you know, you see a guy who's not afraid to attack downfield. You see someone with a little bit of mobility as well and a good arm. Now, you mentioned, Joe, he made a couple of mistakes, and I don't feel like Mario Cristobal was all that discouraged by a couple of the mistakes that Luke made out there, because I think Cristobal understands this guy who, like you mentioned, Joe, should still be in high school right now. He's enrolled early. He's out there kind of figuring out what he can get away with at the college level, because he's just made that jump up in the speed of the defenses and everything. And I think some of the riskier throws that Luke makes, I think he's sort of testing the limits of what he can do at the college level. So he did have, you know, an interception that he probably would have wanted to have back. He actually threw it to Jason Taylor's son, Isaiah Taylor, picked him off. And there was one play that, you know, this is something that Luke will learn, you know, where he was scrambling a little bit and he had run beyond the line of scrimmage. And then he threw a football for a completion. But, you know, the officials realized it was an illegal forward pass, so they called it back. So yeah, outside of that, I thought Nickel really did a lot of positive stuff, just in terms of being aggressive and making some good throws. And Malachi Toney was on the other end of a lot of Nickel's throws. So I was, you know, it was not a flawless performance by any of the quarterbacks, Joe. But out of the three, I thought I was probably most encouraged by what we saw from Nickel.
Well, this Malachi Toney thing, everybody's been talking about since he decided to come to Miami as out of American Heritage Plantation. Led his team as a quarterback, by the way, at the end of the year. Had to play quarterback, but a really talented wide receiver. Has he done enough? Like, he comes back, you're going, oh, he's going to play. You got Ray Joseph there, who also made some plays and loves it here, but he's got to know if he's playing or not, or I got to believe he's starting to look elsewhere.
Yeah, that's a tough one, Joe, because Ray has also had a good spring. So I don't know, like, where his mind is at. I mean, like you mentioned, he said it a few weeks ago. He had media availability, Ray, and he legitimately loves Miami, and he embraces competition. So I'm hoping that his mind is all about Miami, and he had a good spring. It's not as if I came out of, you know, 5 weeks of spring football and I'm saying, yeah, you know, Malachi Toney is way ahead, he's going to start. Like, no, I think Ray has made plenty of cases where he needs to be on the field, if not starting. But Toney has been so good, Joe. Like, my take on Malachi Toney is I don't necessarily know if he starts or not, or starts from the beginning of the year. I just think you need to get this guy on the field. Like, yeah, that's all I'm saying on Malachi Toney is, to me, he's so shifty and so explosive. And, you know, he has that nose for making plays. And you know this from having watched him a lot at Heritage, that I just think Malachi Toney is a guy you have to find a role for. So I hope both of them stick around, and that Shannon Dawson's going to have to find ways to get both of these guys on the field, along with, you know, a guy like we didn't see in the spring game, by the way. But last time you had me on, we talked a lot about Elijah Lofton, you know, the tight end who could do a little bit of everything. He didn't play in the spring game. So that would have been another one, I imagine, who would have made a lot of plays that, you know, you need to find roles for all three of these guys.
Yeah. So they got some young, talented receivers they've raved about throughout spring football, that they think this class of guys are really special, and, you know, all the nice things said about this group, plus Joshua Trader, who didn't play in the spring game either. So they just don't have a lot of experience at wide receiver. So I just telling everybody, and parents get up to see if you're talking about their kids today, they got some really good, young, talented guys, but they need some experience if it's about winning right now. I think the number one position they have to hit in the transfer portal is a wide receiver. If they can find a guy that's got some experience and done it at a pretty high level, to bring them in. Not, don't just bring a guy in to bring them in, but a guy they think's an upgrade with their experience and talent till these guys get ready. Do you agree with that?
100%. And if for every reason you just said, plus, I just think that in this case, and we had the same conversation last year, you know, with having Cam Ward on a one-year deal, which is what you have with Carson Beck, you need to do whatever you can to maximize. I mean, give him as many weapons as possible, because, you know, one of the reasons why Beck's numbers in Georgia last year took a dip, a little bit of a dip from the year before, was, you know, you watch UGA last year, they led the nation in drops. I'm not saying Miami would do that. Like, I'm not saying this to tear down the players Miami has, the young receivers and C.J. Daniels. Like, they may very well perform more consistently with who they have right now than with what Georgia had last year. But, you know, I think last year showed a lot of people that you really need to maximize what you have around Beck. And I think part of that is surrounding him with as many proven, experienced receivers as possible. And you got, you know, one of those guys in CJ Daniels, who has been really good the last couple weeks in spring since he's gotten healthy. He's a 6-year guy. And, you know, you could use someone else like that, a third, fourth, fifth year. I don't know how many 6 years there are still hanging around,
yeah,
but a third, 4 or 5 year type of guy to really add more experience to that room. I think it's got to be a big priority, Joe. And I think that, you know, since Miami landed Beck, you know, very late, kind of at the end of the winter transfer portal, when most of the receivers at that point that were in the portal had already decided where they were going, you couldn't really take advantage of having Beck, you know, the last time the portal was open. You could do that now that the portal is open for the second time. So I think Miami could become an attractive spot, you know, in 2 days when that portal opens.
Is there any other positions you think they could still use some depth? Are you concerned about running back or safety or any other position, or you think they have enough?
Yeah, so I think that there are situations, some of these are bigger needs than others, Joe, and then some of them are just you want to have, you know, as much depth as possible. And I think that's the case with running back. Like, I don't think at running back there's this desperate need, because we know who they have at the top should be really good with Fletcher and Lyle. But they've only got 4 scholarship running backs, and I think just for a numbers reason, they may look to add a 5th, because, you know, we've seen it 2-3 years ago, the running back room, all different guys that are here right now. But 3 years, I think it was 2022, they got completely ravaged by injury. They had to use, you know, a walk-on mid-season transfer. Lucius Stanley got a lot of work. You don't want to be in a situation like that, so you want to have at least 5 there. I think you mentioned safety. I think that's a spot where they're going to look for somebody, because I just don't think they have the numbers there. I was encouraged that Markeith Williams had a good spring game, and he's had a good spring in general. Cristobal was very complimentary of him. He's someone who's been in the program for a while, has just really not had his breakout year yet. So I think there's some encouragement that someone like that can step up. You know, Dylan Day has been really good in spring. Zechariah Poyser, obviously. And, you know, Zaquan Patterson has opportunities this year in his second year. But I still think they could probably use another at safety. It would not. I think linebacker could be another spot where they've got some good players, but they maybe don't have as much depth as they'd want to have. So I think that's somewhere they could look to add somebody. And I kind of wonder, not that it's a huge need, but at defensive tackle, just to, because that's one of those spots where I don't think you can ever have enough or too many. So I think that may be a spot where they look for another guy. So I know it sounds like I've rattled off almost every position on the team.
Yeah.
I get that. But, you know, I think that there are some spots where if Mario wants to really add, like, championship-level depth, I think they're going to do a lot of shopping in a few days.
I know he's not going to name a backup starter, because that's what they are. I know Mario hates when I say this with the quarterback situation, because, you know, we call it open competition, but it's not. Is there one guy going back to summer camp that might have the lead? Somebody's got to line up with the twos when they come back. Who is it?
A quarterback?
Yeah.
I think it's probably Emery. Yeah. You know, I think he's been. And I'm a lot of this is based on the way that he practices, and, you know, what the coaches say about him. I think they really value his experience in this offense, because he's heading into his third year with Shannon Dawson. And I do think he's been the most consistent practice performer. You know, I think Nickel is a guy who's been rising a little bit over the last couple of weeks, but, you know, he doesn't have nearly as much experience. So I feel like Emery Williams is probably the one who's in line for that. This is another one. I don't necessarily have the pulse of this situation personally, but I know that Kane Sport was writing about this yesterday, that, you know, we have to wonder what's going to go on with Emery Williams for the next couple of days, because reportedly he's got a new NIL agent, and that they are, you know, getting some third party, you know, solicitations from potentially from other schools in the portal, if that might be something that he explores. You know, I doubt his mind is made up yet. But, you know, that's one we have to wonder about, because, again, if he doesn't feel like he's going to be a starter here anytime soon, and obviously not this year with Carson Beck, that if he may look for somewhere else he can play. So we have to wonder about that. I'd like to see him stay. But if he doesn't stay, Joe, if Miami is down to 3 scholarship quarterbacks, that could be another spot that they may look for in the portal, just to get another body.
Wow. You're right about this whole NIL thing. We saw it in Tennessee. Not obviously to that level here, hopefully, but that your guys will stick around, but they do want to play at some point. I can't blame anybody, that, especially a quarterback. You're seeing what happens, and you keep bringing a new guy in and another new guy, and you go, why am I here? When am I going to get a chance to be the guy? And at some point, the Canes, and by the way, you save money doing it, to be honest, right, to get a fresh deal done. This quarterback position after this Tennessee thing, it's only going up in price. We saw it already more than double between our last quarterback and this one. Where's it stop? Where does it stop?
I think that I don't know. I don't claim to be a legal expert, but I follow this house settlement that is like supposedly a couple weeks away from getting approved by that judge, the House versus NCAA, that's going to put the revenue sharing into it. A lot of folks have theorized that that's gonna bring the market down again, because once the House settlement passes and every school is going to have their 20 million, 20.5 million salary cap, that they're really going to restrict third-party NIL deals. And because the goal, and who knows, Joe, because anytime the NCAA tries to do anything, they tend to fail like 99% of the time. Yeah. So if the NCAA's goal is to try and drastically lower the NIL market, who am I to say they're going to succeed in doing that? But I think one of the reasons why players, especially quarterbacks, are out there trying to squeeze every dime possible is there is this suspicion that once this settlement passes, that the money is going to go down and they're not going to have they're not going to be able to ask for like $4 million a year anymore, which a lot of quarterbacks have done this year. So I don't know if the NCAA gets their wish with this house settlement, that, you know, you may see quarterbacks instead of 4 million plus, maybe the new cap kind of becomes in the, I don't know, $1.5 to $2 million range, but we'll see if that actually happens. But there are some folks who think the money's going to go way down starting next year.
One thing about us doing radio, it's always about the quarterback, man. Everything goes back to the quarterback. Donald, thank you, buddy. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
Alex Donald, Locked On Canes and Locked On ACC podcast, does a great job, by the way. Daily, great stuff coming out from Alex with the team. Hey, right now I want to talk to you about Atlantic Men's Clinic, ED and low T. Yeah, I had it. Oh, boy, did I have it. Oh, Lord. Boy, I'll tell you what, I knew it from energy level. I'll start with the low T. My energy was shot, and I literally went and got a physical, and I'm just tired, like amazingly tired in a fog, like every day, like just constantly on the weekend. I'm just exhausted. All I want to do is sleep. And it's like, and then my sex drive was gone. You know, yeah, you got full-blown low T and ED, Joe. By the way, it happens to every guy. A lot of men in their 30s, 40s, half their men in the 50s, and then you're on your own, man, after that. But everybody, sooner or later, every man out there will have low T and ED. That's a fact. And Atlantic Men's Clinic, the good news is they take care of it. They knock it out for you. It disappears. They'll put you on a program that works. It's professional. It's safe. It's policed. Tell you all the things that feel good about the way Atlantic Men's Clinic did it for me, and they'll do it for you a year ago. Started a year ago. Thank you, Atlantic Men's Clinic. Yeah, I had all the testing done, the T, the PSA test, and everything else. Got that done. Had one of the six locations real close to my house in Plantation, so I've been going there. But I'll tell you what, man, you talk about getting your sex drive back, feeling better to do more on the weekends, work out, go out, everything else to really enjoy with my wife, 877-455-7300. Set up that first appointment and have great results with Atlantic Men's Clinic. That's what I'm telling you, 877-455-7300, or visit AtlanticMensClinic.com.